All right. Abby Lincoln is what she used to be called. And then she said, no, I am Aminata Moseka. So she is Aminata Moseka. With The World is Falling Down, slightly autobiographical. She's singing about how her world had changed. So talks about people she used to know. We can read a lot into that. The world is falling down. And indeed, outside of the song, the world really seems to be falling down all around us. The key is to not let our world fall down. We just have to kind of hang in there and prop it up as long as we can. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and welcome to Free Your Mind Friday. Now, about two Fridays ago, I got a person calling in who wasn't clear about what Free Your Mind Friday is all about, despite the fact that I thought that every time the program airs, Free Your Mind Friday, I always explain right up front what it is. It is a free forum. It's not scripted. It is people expressing their points of view about something that matters to them. So much so that they have a particular opinion about it. And it's not just for, people just venting. It's not a venting program. It is meant to be a thoughtful presentation you're making, bringing attention to an issue or a problem. And it is also important to realize that what you're doing is training yourself to occupy public space and doing so with an idea. Okay? You have an idea, you have an opinion about something, you should be getting better and better at presenting that idea from your perspective. It is not important, I always stress it, it is not important whether people agree or disagree with you. It is important that you make your point and that you reinforce your position with examples and, with a forceful argument. But that trains you, in turn, to be in any environment and to hold your own. That's very, very important. Because whether you believe it or not, you are an emissary of the group you belong to. And this is it. In a way, you are representing us. When you speak publicly, you're talking to a wider audience, yes. But you are also demonstrating some things that are common to us, we hope. We think about things. We try to be logical. We're not going crazy about things simply because people disagree. That is not even important, whether people agree or disagree. All you have to concern yourself about is that you've done a very good job of presenting your argument, and that's good for me. 888-874-4888. Remember, you must have a decided opinion about something. Whatever it is, you will tell us. And then you will tell us why you are taking the position that you are taking. 888-874-4888. First up is Jeremiah from Harlem. Hello, Jeremiah. Good to see you.
I know, today was Friday, and it's time for the Free Your Mind Friday. So I wanted to jump right in and get my free therapy session.
What are you talking about today?
I wanted to draw the audience's attention and your attention to the philosophies of the economist Milton Friedman. I became familiar with Milton Friedman through the seminal work, The Shock Doctrine, by Naomi Klein. And, you know, Naomi Klein goes into detail about how disasters are the best, most fertile ground for capitalism, for capitalist takeover and capitalist expansion. And she provides several examples. Now, this book isn't considered some sort of like conspiracy theorist sort of book. This is considered a mainstream text that people have referred to as a really quality historical reference. And it was through that book I became familiar with the philosophies of Milton Friedman. And apparently Milton Friedman, who is the father of the Chicago Boys School of Economics, which helped a lot of the most vicious dictatorships in the world organize their brutal economic programs of austerity. Milton Friedman doesn't believe in the commons, so to speak. He didn't believe that there should be public schools. He didn't believe that there should be public hospitals. He believed that it's not his responsibility to pay for your child's education or to pay for you if you get injured. And I think that the Democrats and the Republicans are low-intensity or high-intensity Friedmanites, depending on the particular cause or situation. But I think they're all Friedmanites. I think they're destroying the commons. And I think that a lot of what's happening with the COVID measures are to that end. I think they're making the school system so ridiculous that a lot of people are going to continue to withdraw their kids from school and start homeschooling. And I think they like that. I think they're putting healthcare workers in the ridiculous situation of having to take this vaccine or lose their jobs. And at the same time, they're saying that the hospitals are overwhelmed. So they're going to make a catastrophe on top of a catastrophe as we lose healthcare workers in an already overwhelmed system. And I think that all this is being done intentionally and by design to those ends of destroying the commons, which are viewed as socialism, as communism, which we need to move as far away from as possible in favor of the free market. And the idea is, well, look, if you get sick, go to your personal family doctor. Oh, you can't afford it? Well, too bad for you. You should have saved up money in case you got sick or injured. You know, if you you don't have a good job, well, get an education. You can't afford your education, get a job. Not my problem. So I think that a lot of what's going on should be viewed in that light. And it's really sad to me that the Shock Doctrine, which was a vastly regarded text, is just kind of not even being applied right now when the theory applies now more than ever of disaster capitalism. So those are my thoughts for today, Yatrice.
Well, you certainly made up for all the time you hadn't talked about it. Thanks so much. Thank you very much. I hope people stop for a minute and think about what you've just introduced here. And hopefully we'll have somebody adding on to what you have started. 888-874-4888 is Free Your Mind Friday. What are you freeing your mind from or about? That's the question I'll be asking everybody. What do you have to say about whatever it is you have to say? Let's hear it. And let's hear also your rationale for thinking what you're thinking. How about that? We just had a good example, and we should move in that direction whenever we have Free Your Mind Friday. Give a thought to what it is you're saying. I don't see anybody up on the board just yet. 888-874-4888. There's so much that we should be commenting about, having direct bearing on our everyday lives. I can't imagine that you're grasping for ideas when we're inundated with them. We should have windfall of ideas to talk about and to challenge with our own view. So let's hear you. This is time to talk. This is not just talking for talking's sake, as you know. This is really getting people accustomed to the idea, not only that you have something to say, but you have the right to occupy public space and say it. Of course, one hopes that you're able to defend your position, and we're also listening for that, but it is important to become quite familiar with this way of presenting ideas in public, that you don't have to feel, you know, nervous about anything. You have an idea, it is worth defending, it certainly is worth hearing, so let's hear it at 888-874-4888. All right. Hugh from California, you're on the air.
Hello, Yatrice.
Hello.
I would like to add to the gentleman who called earlier with his wonderful call on the addressing disaster capitalism per se, but what he introduced was an idea of how people or institutions will take advantage of situations that occur either accidentally or however to advance their own positions and their own needs and their own desires. And I think this what he introduced, aside from the use of how corporations will use any kind of event to advance their own interests, this is true universally. It is basically how people, for the most part, use, I put it broadly, reality to gain what they need in life. They take advantage of opportunities that come along. And I think this goes to the point of conspiracy theories that sometimes are correct and oftentimes are fanciful in the sense that people see an event and assume that that event was caused by someone in order to get something rather than seized upon to get what they want. And I think this is something to bear in mind whenever looking at even especially awful instances of things, whether it's 9/11 or whatever, to say, look, or the Kennedy assassination for that matter, you could take both events and say they were the result of a concerted conspiracy to effect an end that served certain interests and might add evil to that if you wish. But the point is, otherwise, you could simply say, for instance, with the Kennedy assassination, I'm not arguing what really happened, and I'm not getting into that. I'm saying, say, Oswald did shoot him. He practiced in the desert. He got up there in the tower in the school book depository, and he killed him. After that, people who had interests that would have been served by Kennedy being gone seized upon that to get what they wanted. And they went like hell. You saw what happened in the Vietnam War. Some people say the Vietnam War was continued on the basis of Kennedy's assassination. Maybe it does the truth. Maybe it's not. But the point is, and the same thing with 9/11. You could say, well, all those details of how the buildings fell were a concerted effort of people who planted bombs and thermite and all this, I think, ridiculous nonsense. No, you had a bunch of Arabs, a bunch of Saudis, and some Afghans, who were quite capable of doing what happened. And then you had institutions in the government and in corporations, in the oil companies, that seized upon it to start a war, to get what they wanted. And I think this is a lot of what happens in not only in life, but in what are considered grand actions by interested and powerful parties to get what they want. And you say, well, they got what they want because they caused 9/11. They got what they wanted in the 60s, in the late 60s, because they created this conspiracy to shoot the president in the middle of the street when they could have just poisoned the guy or done any number of less fantastic ways to get rid of him. But they did all of this stuff in order to get what they wanted subsequently, the CIA? Or did they just seize upon the event? And I think much of what happens in life, even in personal life, success and failure and things, are what intelligent people do when they see something happen that they can use. And I think this is something to keep in mind whenever looking at historical events, rather than assuming immediately that the events were actually machinated by people to get something. And that's just my thought. And I think what your prior guest hit upon with disaster capitalism is a perfect example of that. That corporations, they don't have to engineer these things. They see things happen and they use them, which is what anybody in life does, which is not a bad idea if you're trying to live a productive and at life for yourself and your family. You seize upon events, say the lowering of a house of property values of this or that, and then you say, well, I'll make a move based on that. And this is the kind of thing that generally goes on with people. And that's all. I just wanted to add to what the gentleman
said. We'll see how you resonate with the folks listening. We'll hear about it. Thank you very much for your call today. Kenny from New Jersey, you're on the air. What are you freeing your mind of today?
Kenny dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Okay. Then we go to Ed from Queens.
Good afternoon, Latrice. How are you doing?
Okay, Ed. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah.
What are you freeing your mind of?
Well, basically, I just want to chime in with what the initial caller said, and I got to disagree with the second caller. I've read Naomi Klein's book about disaster capitalism and the Chicago boys and all of that. But these are economic hitmen. They're vultures. They create the disparities. They create the crises, and then they profit off of them. Normal human beings shouldn't do that.
Don't embarrass you. But the plural of crisis is crises. C-R-I-S-E-S. Just so you know.
Thank you. But I'm saying normal human beings shouldn't profit off of misery. It's not a human aspect, and it's not something that should be promoted. And these individuals, these Chicago boys, they create these situations and then they profit off of them. And that brings me back to what I'm saying. Welcome to the Great Reset. We're in a situation now, whether it was by design or whether it was by happenstance, where certain aspects of society, the virus, unemployment, a dwindling economic market, a lack of resources, have conspired so that individuals and institutions that were in power can access their power and control it on a global scale. And people of good conscience got to resist. I mean, I don't have the answer to a total resistance of or total solution of how to defeat it, but I know we got to resist and we got to let our human natures, our love of man, not to be maudlin, but our love of mankind prevail, because if this continues, we're not going to be anything but cogs for the machine. We're not going to be anything but tools, and that's what it's slowly becoming. You can't get a job of any real merit. You can't acquire any real savings. You know, like they said at the Davos in 2016, you're not going to own anything and you're going to like it. And, I fear that that's where we're heading. And I don't think that the American public has the wherewithal to even resist it anymore.
What is the closest period in U.S. history that you think this period comes to? What's the closest?
Well, if you want to look at the Roaring Twenties prior to the Great Depression, there was an avarice, there was a love of wealth, a frivolity, hedonism, and that culminated in the great stock market crash and led us into the Great Depression. That's the closest period of history that I can find that relates to this period of time.
Wow. And what is the lesson inherent in that experience that applies to today?
That human beings are more valuable than profit. That we should care for our fellow man and that we should all work together to rise above this. I mean, you know, everything boils down to profit and gain and loss and who's in control. And until we get past that capitalist idea, you know, these things are going to happen again and again. History repeats itself. The players might change or the circumstances might vary a little bit, but we're going through the same thing, the same insane cycle.
Wow. Thank you very much for your call. Thanks so much. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Yusree.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Yeah. I'm calling with a heavy heart and sadness that a couple of years ago you had, what was that church in Manhattan that you go to that you come once a year?
Oh, it's being renovated now.
Okay, what's the name of it?
What's the name of the church?
Well, anyway, to make a long story short, the last time you were there, thanks to you, I had met a very progressive African-centered woman. And she became my mate, and she just passed away last week.
Oh.
And I just wouldn't.
Well, that's very sad to hear.
Excuse me.
That's okay. That's very sad.
Her name was Martha Leah Williams. I'm sorry. But
that's all right. That's okay, Noel. Can I ask what would probably seem to be a kind of trite question, but in the short time that you shared a life together?
Yes.
Did you benefit? Was it a benefit to you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. She dealt with Dr. Clark and you know, many other. Who was the people's preacher again? I'm sorry, my mind's going a little bit bad because of the stress.
There's so many of those.
Alton Maddox. I mean, I got to meet some of the greatest people through her. She was such a motivating person. She lived in Brooklyn. We lived together. I mean, we met and we talked, and she was just a great, great person. And her family had taken her from me and put her in a hospice, and she died. And I just wanted anybody to know who knew Martha Leah. She was musically inclined, and I thank you too for bringing us together for that short.
Well, as you look at it, does the role of destiny or fate, does it play a role in how things turned out?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I really don't want to talk anymore right now. Thank you very much. I just wanted to mention her name.
That's okay. It's okay. And thank you for calling and remembering. Thank you so much. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yusree. Okay, you have a little bit of everything today. I just wanted to comment to Norm that, you know, I also met my husband through a WBAI event. And we ended up getting married, and he also ended up dying in 2016. But, you know, I got so much out of my relationship. I met my prince, and I had a fabulous time. Short time, but it was a fabulous time. And we enjoyed doing, you know, all, it was so wonderful to meet somebody who was an activist like me, because he didn't go to sleep when you started to talk about things like John Perkins or Naomi Klein. And he wanted to listen to BAI all the time. So it was a great thing. And he loved your show too. So I'm sorry for your loss, Norm, but I know you got Noah, more than Noah. The loss. So I'm just related to that. But I also wanted to say two things. Just one very quickly, just for the audience, that this morning on BAI, before I guess the morning show between 7 and 8, they had a show on about how the Medicare system has now changed hands. It is being privatized, and it will take place in 2026. The money from Medicare has been turned over to Emblem, which is a pretty bad insurance company. I know, because I've had them, and another insurance company. So what's going to happen is that the government is going to pay them, and they're going to direct you to where they think you need to go. Well, lots of times that I got directed by Emblem, I ended up with no place because the payout was so small that no doctors would accept their insurance. So, but I just wanted to warn people that you need to take a look at that and be ready for that is coming. And I also wanted to comment on, I guess, two callers past who was talking about the way changes happen and the environmental, the capital gains that is made by people through the environment being destroyed, and how I got the feeling he was just saying it's just normal opportunism, but it really isn't normal opportunism. And I would really, really strongly suggest that he listen to the 6 hours that Gary Noel did about 9/11, because after I listened to that, I mean, I know a lot of things on my own, and I know a lot of things from the firemen. But it was such a wonderfully, the program itself was stacked so well, and it made so much sense scientifically. And I would beg to differ with this man that most of the people that they said were, you know, the attackers were no more than patsies. And that was a very good show on Guns and Butter last week where that was discussed. So there's a lot of information about things like that. And you know, you have to also realize there was a plan in place. It was called the Project for the New American Century. It was in place already. It called for a disaster similar to that of Pearl Harbor in order to get everybody to go willingly to war, much the way that this disease has been planned out. Because it was a kind of strange thing that when, you know, Trump came into office, that we were told by Fauci, not that he thought there might be a pandemic this year, but there would be a pandemic. Now, how did you know there would be a pandemic? I mean, how did you know that so surely? And so I think that, you know, what we like to do is to hear it. People are so bold about what their plans are is that they're even willing to put it out there for you to see. And I think it was somebody in Hitler's regime who said, you know, the best lies are the biggest lies, you know, and things like this, this wasn't a lie, but I mean, this is so cavalier to put it out there. And it was the same thing with the Project for the New American Century, because who could ever wrap their head around that? It was so enormous what they were calling for when the documents were originally written. And yet everything pretty much fell into place. And yes, you'd really have to believe in fairy tales and you know, goblins, if you think that those buildings came down the way that they were said to have come down. And if you honestly think that some amateur pilots that took, you know, a couple of lessons could get onto airplanes that are that size and to drive them that quickly, that fiercely into the buildings and so precisely, you really have not, you really don't have a scientific mind. You're not really thinking with a scientific point of view when you're thinking about these things. So, you know, yes, I believe there are opportunists in this world, and there's a lot of people that look out for bad things to happen. It's part of our culture. I mean, remember the movie Wall Street, where we basically, you know, said greed is good, and it was the new you know, it was the new culture in America. Greed is good. So you got to get out there and be as disgusting as you can. Wall Street was accepted for being, you know, much of their criminal behavior. And so that's led us up to this place. I'd also just wanted to say, too, that I'm glad the caller brought up John Kennedy, because although things have happened in this country before, that was such a catalyst for a CIA to become so brazen after that, and over and over and over to continue to do even more terrible things and to continue to do them. And nobody questions them anymore. Nobody really takes them to task. And I think that Kennedy's death was a catalyst, and that although the country may have been devastated, and I think many people are still devastated over that, that we never asked any questions. And we didn't ask any questions after 9/11 either. We got some really bad report. I mean, one of the things that was so strange to me was that there was no taping off of the area. Anybody could just walk into that area after it happened. In fact, they said it themselves. They called it a crime scene. If it's a crime scene, then why could anybody just tromp through it? And why are you taking all the pieces from the crime scene and throwing them in a truck and getting rid of them? I mean, if it's really a crime scene. And to me, it is a crime scene, but, you know, the people that are responsible for it, and I very much think that Dick Cheney had a huge, huge role in this. I think that all of these people are still out there. And I think the pandemic is just one more step forward in this kind of incredibly domineering culture that we're getting. We're getting, you know, a culture of total control of everything. I mean, there's nothing they don't want to see. I don't even know who these people are that have to see. Why would you want to look at every single American? Like, what do you even want to know? Like, I don't sit here and look out my windows and God, I have to know what my neighbor across the street is doing. Why do you even care? I mean, don't you have a life of your own? But it's gotten to the point where it's so fine tuned, and they're into everything. I mean, your TV has a little, you know, a little circle on the top. It's a camera, and they tell you right on your TV when you buy it that, you know, this can be used that way. Same thing with your computer. You've got to make sure you put the lid down on your computer so your computer can't spy on you. I mean, telephone calls. I mention things on the telephone, and the next thing I'm getting is like 25 advertisements for that. I don't even understand the purpose of what it is they want. I don't even understand wanting that much control. I think it goes back to mental illness, and that's what really is frightening, is that the few players at the top are so mentally ill, and they're so utterly insecure about who they are that they need to have this kind of control. And that's why the sane people in the world really need to take things back. We need to start looking at things in perspective. First things first, global warming. I mean, and I'm going to let it go
like
that.
Thanks for calling in. We have
Thank
to
you.
Give some time to others as well.
Yes.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for your contribution today. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Look, Eatrice, I want to respond to the second caller and the idea encapsulated in Naomi Klein's disaster capitalism model. I think it's completely inadequate to the task of actually understanding what's actually going on, and have always thought so. And I think your second caller is really a perfectly sterling example of the kind of indoctrination that actually brought the idea of disaster capitalism around. It's the idea that, look, if I was talking about the old Soviet Union and said, look, here's what the Politburo has decided to do, and then the Kremlin is going to do this, nobody would say that's a conspiracy theory. You would just assume I was talking about planning. But as soon as you start talking about anything that's done by power systems in the West, then everybody is trained to call it a conspiracy theory. See, you're not allowed to talk about planning in the West. It's not allowed to exist. Now, if you're a professional political scientist, this is one of the first things you learn. You won't even make it to graduate school unless you've accepted this. Nobody here ever plans out anything. We just act on this kind of general benevolence, and we stumble from here to there in our good-natured way, making, you know, mistakes and stuff. But look,
I was trying very hard not to laugh, but you destroyed it.
Look, the people in power aren't idiots. They do planning. In fact, they do very careful and sophisticated planning. But you're not supposed to talk about it, or it's a conspiracy theory. Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You'll often hear people, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, and then they'll say something perfectly rational. You see, that's indoctrination. That's training. Now, you can ask, is it intelligent planning? Is it, you know, is it conscious planning? Is it bad planning? Sure, that's fine. But I mean, to say that these things are just somehow unthinkable because we're benevolent by definition is childish. It's an institutional necessity to plan at every level of the culture. I mean, do people really suppose that the board of directors of General Motors doesn't plan? You know, that the people who are not trying to maximize their power in the corporate sector, the top editors and government officials and major business people, you know, don't have meetings and plan. You know, they all belong to the same golf clubs and they all go to the same parties and went to the same schools and they flow up and down from one position in government back to the corporate sector, but they don't plan. I mean, it's just silly. It's built right into the structure in which you live, and people are trained not to see it. Do you have a job? Well, behind your supervisor stands a boss, and then the personnel office, and then the workers' compensation board, and then the welfare department, and the police. You know, do you see the janitor? Well, behind the janitor is the manager and the landlord and the lawyer and the eviction notice and the police. You know, so, I mean, behind every parent, there's a teacher and youth authorities and the police. It's built right into the system. The police are behind everything because the corporate sector needs them in case you get out of line and start recognizing that the conspiracies are real, that they actually do planning, and you may figure out that you don't like what they're planning and you don't like the results of it. I mean, you can go back to a classical economist like Adam Smith in 1776, Wealth of Nations. He says, every time two businessmen get together in a room, you can be certain that there's a plan being cooked up which is going to harm the public. Well, I mean, it's not a matter of you have to do a deep investigation. It should be just obvious to anyone who isn't a congenital idiot. Powerful people plan. Just throw away the conspiracy theorist label that was given to you, was that phrase was perfected by the CIA to accuse people who questioned the findings of the Warren Commission. And the whole left did not has bought this view from the CIA ever since. The acceptable left include, you know, Chris Hedges, Noam Chomsky, all these people. Oh, wow, that's all conspiracy theory. I mean, people have to be smarter than that. Please. Thank you, Utrecht.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus, for your call today. Edna from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Yes, yes, Brooklyn. Thank you. Good afternoon, you trees. I just wanted to piggyback on the caller who could not recall the name of the church. I believe the event was the Big Hug at the Community Church of New York in Manhattan, and it happened in 2018, which I unfortunately did not attend, but I was just so moved by his call. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Yes.
Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. She just beat me to it. I am a member of that church, and I was on the leadership team that brought us together twice. So we're talking about a church that is a very progressive church and has done a lot of great things over the years and continue to be doing so. It's going under some renovation now, and it will continue to do the great work. And I'm looking forward to inviting you, Trees, you, and having people in our seminar come again. Thank you. The only thing that I think about right now in reference to what has been said at this session is I admire the brilliance of those who rule to control the people. They are just, they're just great at what they do in their interests. And we have to remember one thing. They created this country, the United States of America, to benefit themselves. And they are doing a good job at it. And one of the ways that, the chief way that they do it is to keep the people confused, and we have to keep that in our mind. And the only way that we're going to get any change is when we get over the training that they give us to keep us divided and under control, that we can educate ourselves rather than just accept the training of the ruling class and take charge of things so the whole country is operated in the benefit for the benefit of the people who live here rather than just the small ruling class that controls everything in this country. And that's the way I see it.
Okay. Thank you very much, David, for your call today. Okay, we have Gino from the Bronx down the air.
Good day, Sister Eutrice.
Good day.
You hear the good news?
What's the good news?
Eutrice, we woke up. We're able to converse with each other again. All of us.
Good.
Oh, I'd like to say, I missed the first caller, but the fellow who was saying he was neutral, but then saying it was dumb, basically, to think anything was done at 9/11, that didn't sound so neutral. I think he sounded like very apologetic for what goes on in terms of the greed mantra. I think he should read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, who was there when you don't accept a bribe in those South American countries. The jackals come in and they do you in. He ought to do some reading on that level. But I appreciate him calling in and venturing out there to deal with Ed and Gwen and the rest of us. So I guess he may be new to the party or the committee or the neighborhood. Put it that way, electronic neighborhood. I'd say Noah. Armand DeMille, a great man on the radio, who's one of the few people that I would, with all the intellectual insights and everything goes on out here, one of the few people to get callers to cry. And that's one of the rare cases where I heard somebody crying on your show, Eutrice. And I just want to say, Noah, Armand used to say tears are the sweat of the heart. And that took a lot of courage and vulnerability, which is how we keep growing, to do that. That's because the heart and the head together is how we make it. Too much information out here with the sadnesses of life, and I very rarely hear a tear on the radio. So I'm with you, brother, and look at the good that came out of that, because I do think we're here to discover what is love and the heights of it that make the Himalayas look like a pebble and what it isn't. So I think she's really inspired you to discover more of that. So honor her and lead a joyful, creative life, and she'd want you to do that. So beyond your tears, even Jesus cried, so that's only normal. But beyond that, you have a lot to be thankful for. And as far as one of the heads of the FBI once said, when the public believes our lies as the truth, we will have succeeded. And I think the fellow could look up that quote somewhere along the way, you know, as far as that goes. And it just seems to be that, you know, at the, what was it, I think it was Marcus, yeah, he got it at the end that, the conspiracy theory talk came along right after Kennedy was shot. So people need to remember where that came from the CIA. And that Dulles, not to leave out, he was involved with all these underhanded, illegal, unapproved, like Fauci in Wuhan with the work there, with the enhancing the virus. He was going around doing things that they've been used to doing when one president comes in, the other one goes out, and they continue in their mainstay of destabilizing places to rip them off in all kinds of ways. He was involved with, you know, he was fired for doing that, trying to kill Castro or who knows who else. Kennedy had the courage and the insight to fire him. And 3,000 workers, that often gets forgotten, 3,000 cohorts of the CIA. When did that last happen? Now they lie in Congress and they nothing happens to them. Fauci lied in Congress, what's going to happen to him? Well, you got a war criminal in charge, so what's going to happen to him? So this is the soil, as Grandpa used to say, that us live folks, you know, trying to come up through this concrete and still blossom. Not very easy, but still doable. And so these are some things I just wanted to add on to the cast of regular neighborhood characters there, though I haven't heard that other caller, but he certainly sounded like an apologist when you really look at what he's saying. He's neutral, then he'd step out on the one side where nothing, it's all an accident, even though the insurance company, you know, the guy in charge of the building took insurance on terrorism. No planes were allowed to fly. The family the family of the man they went after, you know, all his family members were allowed to leave the country. No planes ever went up to intersect these planes, which is standard procedure. And every week, it's true, like somebody said, I think it was Marcus, they have the board members have meetings. That's called conspiracy. They're breathing together. And they're always looking for how to enhance their profits. That's their bottom line. That's their God. So, you know, most of them, I don't say all, but most of them, yes, it's their bottom line. So that's some of the things I wanted to add on, Teresa. I wish you a positive, creative, joyful weekend with your friends and good weather out there. And
well, thank you very much. I think I'll take your advice and see if the weather holds up over the weekend so I can get a little something from the outside a bit. Out really walking.
Well, you know, one thing I say about the weather, it's a free measurement for if there's no sun out, how much sun can we bring from within ourselves? So that's a free psychological thing.
Thank you very much for your call today.
All right.
Well, I think I have time for one short call. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you two.
Good afternoon.
Loyal supporters. I really can't thank you enough. I say this all the time, but your show keep growing in stature. And that's because of the person you are. Thank you for being here and giving us this outlet. What I wanted to talk about to free my mind was a dumbing down of people. And it's very, very easy to see when we keep using these terms that was designed to dumb us down. Again, I'll start with the latest. Mr. Breakthrough. How could you call a breakdown a breakthrough? But we accept it. Now you hear all these leading doctors and stuff talking about breakthroughs. We know they're reading from the same propaganda slip. But people accept this as a breakthrough. what the heck is a breakthrough when we come talking about something that went wrong? No. The show today was great because conspiracy theorists, I am one described as that, but when we see truth being tainted or twisted, then you're supposed to stand up and speak against it. In every case that people think, I think from even the discussion today, we understand a lot of the falsehoods that we've been told and in some cases accept as true, including this COVID nonsense that they have going on. Now, these things, like one or the other guy said, was planned. Yes, it was planned. And whether we call it conspiracy or not, it's criminal. It's always criminal. From the manufacturing of the feds, the banking industry, everything here was planned by the group who now control. And the only word to describe them is criminal, not businessmen. Criminals for what they're doing to the world, the people in general today. And we just roll along with the programs in what they termed the leading democratic nation of the world. But that's a big joke. That is a bigger joke than all the others. But again, thank you, well, Trish. And
we have to wrap up. I'm afraid we have exactly 1 minute finished. Left.
That 1 minute is yours. Thank you for the show.
Thank you so much for your call. Thank you all for calling in today and freeing your mind. What I enjoyed more than anything else is the freedom I was feeling you expressed yourself with. It wasn't important whether people agreed with your thesis or not, and that is the whole point. It is about expressing your point of view as thoroughly as you can, and we'll get better and better and better at it. This is a weekend, and that means you should surround yourselves with people who bring good things into your life and take some time to just relax and get ready for battle next week. Bye-bye.